Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM 925 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, I'm going to go to the phones right now. Welcome on somebody. We tried to get him on yesterday, but he had the ultimate excuse because I was watching online as he was literally debating his bill at the podium in the well of the Senate. State Senator Chris Elliott represents Senate District 32 down in the Baldwin County area. He is a longtime member of the Alabama Republican Party, active as a party chairman in his county, in the state executive committee. He's also a graduate of the University of Richmond with a BA in political science, now serving in the state Senate. Chris Elliott, thanks for coming on the show, man. How you doing?
For having me, and of course you've been in on that podium in that well plenty of times holding that mic, so you know it is a decent excuse if you've got one, and I'd have much rather been with you.
Well, I appreciate it, but yeah, it was pretty funny because I was sitting here on the show thinking, is he going to call? Hope things are well. Wait a minute, I better check and see what they're doing. And I clicked online literally while I'm on the air, and I went, well, it's going to be kind of hard for him to call because there he stands. But yeah, man,
thanks for having me on today.
You did. Absolutely. Well, listen, Chris, I'll get right to it. So, Senator, you had one of the two bills that dealt with pushing back against vaccine mandates. And it's something that I think is probably the hottest topic nationwide, certainly being felt all over our state. Your constituents, I'm sure, have lit up your emails and phones. But Senate Bill 9 was yours, and I believe Senate Bill 15 was Senator Orr's. But of course, it did pass pretty much along party lines with a unanimous vote, or by party lines, I mean. Senate Bill 9, give us the quick lowdown on what yours
correct.
Does.
It did. It passed in the Senate upstairs, and then it just passed Health Committee downstairs in the House. So it will likely be on the floor tomorrow for consideration in the House.
Outstanding. Do you know, was it amended in health House Health?
So there was a sub for it that I have been working with House members on, as you well know, from a special session standpoint, very compressed time frame moving through quickly. So it's a moving target, and we've been moving on it as we're passing it. It's a little scary when things happen that way, but that's been the nature of it. So it was substituted, all with substitutions that I feel fairly comfortable with and that I think maintain the integrity of the bill. What we're trying to do here is fairly direct, and that is to work within the mandate. And a lot of folks say, oh, challenge the mandate. And that's a hard thing to do, from a state legislative standpoint. It certainly can be challenged in court, and I'm glad the Attorney General is doing that. But what we're doing is focusing on the exemptions. There are exemptions that exist under federal statute, and we're trying to mirror that and make them as broad as possible in the state of Alabama and as easy as possible to claim.
Well, and I think that's the right tactic. I mean, one of your peers, I was actually helping him with some language for a very similar bill to the one that wound up getting chosen, which was yours. And that's great. I think you're right. I think that's the track we have to go on, because if you just say no mandates, you immediately face litigation that could wind up derailing the effort. But if you say, federal law does allow for exemptions, and by the way, employers in Alabama, here's how you're going to do that. I think that gives you more leeway. It gives you more momentum, if you will. Now, let me ask you this, though. One of the concerns that some people have had, and I got to confess I had a little bit of concern over it, is that your bill engaged, unless y'all changed it in the House, your bill engaged the Department of Labor to be the third-party examiner should there be a disagreement between the employee and employer. Tell me the genesis for that decision.
Well, the short answer is it had to be somebody. And the conversation was, well, maybe this needs to go to the Department of Health. Well, nobody wanted that, right? There was some conversation about it going to the Attorney General's office. The concern around the room in both chambers was, well, does that create a conflict for the Attorney General to be, suing on the mandate issue and handling what the Attorney General's office is usually set up to do, and then administering this process as well, and that was a bad idea. So it's most appropriate at the Department of Labor, but the amended House version clarifies that a little bit and simply says the appeal goes to the Department of Labor, but there's an administrative law judge set up under the Department of Labor in order to hear these appeals. But here's the kicker, Phil. I don't think there are going to be a whole lot of appeals. The claim of exemption is presumptive. Once you've done it, you've met the statute. Once you've claimed it, you've met the statute. So the employer may appeal to the Department of Labor. But I think those appeals are going to be few and far between, and I think that the bar is set by the statute pretty high, and that is, as long as you've claimed an exemption, you're granted.
Well, so this bill, if I remember correctly, is styled such that as soon as it's passed and signed by the governor, it takes effect immediately. Is that correct?
That's correct. This could be law tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. Has the governor given you indication whether she's going to sign it? Because this was not part of the call. So is she any pushback from the governor's office that you're aware of?
I've talked to the governor's office. The only concern they've had is about the Department of Labor. I think that while there is some concern there that, you know, they're worried about workload and feel, you know, it's a bureaucracy. They don't want any more work than they got to do, right?
Right.
But I think that when you really look practically at what this is going to result in, employers, which there are a few of them, employees, right? Employers are the only ones that are filing the appeal. They're going to look at it before they file the appeal and notice that this is presumptive, that once you fill out the form, you've met the statute. There's just not a lot of workload there. So short of that objection that they've had, they are supportive of the measure. I've talked to her representatives to the legislature over here. I've talked to the chief of staff about it. I think they'll sign the bill.
Well, so here's the thing. Your first version of your bill, the one you actually dropped in, the one that actually went to committee before it was substituted, I liked that one. The one that came out of the Senate after being substituted and voted on by the chamber, I was okay with that one. It's still good. I was a little less enthusiastic, but I get it, the Department of Labor and all that. Now, what have they done in the House? How are these amendments going to affect what we know has already been passed by the Senate?
Yeah, so the House has added a couple of specific medical conditions that somebody can check if they have them and claim that exemption. Sorry, you'll recognize that noise too, Phil. I apologize.
I do. I almost got up and ran down the hall. Yes.
Yeah, they're calling me to the floor for a vote, but I feel confident that they can handle it on their own. So it creates a number of different exemptions that are stated and then still a broad religious exemption. I did not want to get into the business of somebody trying or us trying, the legislature or a bureaucracy trying to make a determination as to faith. So we're staying out of that altogether. If you claim the faith exemption, you claim the religious exemption, then you've got it.
Okay.
So that's pretty simple. Somebody is sitting on the button, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm saying. For those who don't know what's happening right now, State Senator Elliott is at the Senate right now, and those are the chimes that I mentioned yesterday that call you down the hall to cast your votes. So, yes, they can be extremely irritating. Just so you know, Chris, I actually had the speaker unplugged in my office, just so you know.
I might have to do that. I'm probably going to have to step down on the floor to vote on the final passage of House map, but we'll keep talking, and I'll just have to be flexible with me. I apologize. But at the end of the day, you know, the other exemptions allow for a regular guy, right? A regular guy or lady who's at work that doesn't, you know, doesn't have a law degree, may not know how to navigate this, to simply look down the list of a few medical conditions that they probably already, you know, they know what their medical condition is. So, yeah, that's what I have. I can claim based on that. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for somebody who wants to claim an exemption to do so.
All right. Well, and listen, I can tell that you're hoofing it down the hallway for a vote right now. And I appreciate that. So what you're telling me, though, Senator Elliott, is that the bill went down to the House, and the House chose to, rather than pass it in its pure form from the Senate, they wanted to add their piece to it that defines certain medical conditions that have to be met and documented, I guess, which I'm going to be honest with you, man. That's to me, that's just the Senate. I mean, that's the Senate passing a decent bill and the House making it weaker. And I hope that's not the case. But you guys are going to have to concur on it. So we'll see how that goes.
That's correct. And that's what I've been trying to be very careful about doing, is making sure that that my colleagues are kept abreast of what's happening downstairs as well, so that when it does come back upstairs to concur, that's something we can do fairly quickly, get it to the governor to her to sign, so that we can get this protection in place for Alabama employees right now when they need it.
All right. Well, listen, Chris, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, man, because I know you've got to get in there and do Senate business. You are on the public dime. But we appreciate you being here on the air with us today and sort of enlightening us on some of the processes that are going on. And my best to you. And by the way, I'll say this. I certainly appreciate the fact that you and the other members of the Senate caucus decided to operate outside of the governor's call and get something done for the state. And I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do, Phil.
All right. Thank you. All right, folks, that was State Senator Chris Elliott. And we're going to come back from a break here in just a minute. And I'll give you a little more lowdown of what he's saying. I'm going to have to try and see if I can find a copy of that that version that came out of the House Health Committee. I am disturbed to think that the House decided to go ahead and define certain medical exemptions in order to allow you to claim that. I don't think that's their role. But nonetheless, we'll see how it goes. But I certainly appreciate the fact that Chris Elliott passed one upstairs that was far more workable. Listen, we'll be right back with this break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.